Be with me and allow me to be your servant. I pray that the message that we have before us today is your message, and that no basket will be covering the light that the truth has for us to be seen. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, it's interesting, being a Seventh-day Adventist, most of us, if not all of us, after church, we go home. Either our home or someone else's home to visit, but we kind of go home. If you were maybe another denomination, before you go home, you stop off and you go get something to eat. Maybe you stop off at Lowe's and get you some lumber, you know, things like that. You know that happens. Maybe some of us get lumber once in a while. Who wants to go after church, after I finish speaking, who's ready to go home? The message is, what home am I talking about? Are you ready to go home to your house where you have a light bill and a water bill and you keep your socks there? Are you ready to go to your heavenly home? Who's ready to go to the heavenly home? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. The scripture reading, the story is that I had was really out of Exodus 12, 3 through 14. And it's about God's directives to Moses, instructing the people of Israel concerning their preparation of their exodus out of Egypt. In essence, there was three parts. The procedure, and that's the actual lamb preparation. The state of preparedness, that's the people themselves in anticipation of their leaving Egypt. And then finally, the repercussions for failing to follow God's specific instructions. In these verses, we see a wonderful story where we have a reminder of God's promise to us that he will reconcile us to him if we only allow him to, if we only accept the Lamb's blood. You know, allow me to tell you the story and how it unfolds for me and how I see it taking place. And is this, am I popping or anything? Am I okay? Good. You know, some 2,000 years ago, we see a family in bondage, living in Egypt as slaves to an unfriendly and often abusive master. The master requires much of these people, and very little consideration is given to them at all. The slave and his family are treated as property only. He is a harsh taskmaster. This Hebrew father desires for his family, and he to get rid of this taskmaster, to get away from it. They want freedom, but for many, many years they've been in bondage, and hope seems lost. You see, the father knows what it was like before the people fall from God's grace. He knows what it was like when they were with God and God was with them and all was right. He's aware of the peace that his people had. I'm popping, aren't I? You know, I do it. I'll stick with this one. Yeah, I'll just turn that off. I should know that. How are we doing? Y'all hear me? Great. I'll just try to stay in one spot. Word gets out to the family that there is a man sent by God by the name of Moses, telling the king of Egypt that he demands his people be let go from their bondage. Many wonders and frightening things are occurring in the land of Egypt at this time. The Israelite people, as well as the Egyptian people, they're very anxious about the outcome and what may happen next. You might say there's a much political and social turmoil and unrest in the country. The Hebrew father is told
that he and his fellow slaves must prepare to leave Egypt, for God has demanded this. Specific instructions are given to his father and him and his neighbors, and they must follow without deviation. The directives have come from God through Moses and Aaron and must be followed if they wish to be set free. The father is instructed to choose a lamb. In this case, the father must purchase it because, you know, in these days and times, they didn't have their herds. They had to buy their food from vendors. So the father had to go out, had to purchase a lamb. But this lamb came with some instructions. It must be perfect. And the family was to care for this lamb for 4 days, ensuring that it stayed perfect. As you can imagine, while caring for such an animal, the family became familiar and comfortable with the lamb. The children, realizing how innocent the lamb is and knowing its future, must have had many, many questions as to why the kind and gentle animal must die. Can I have the slide working? Is that possible? Let's go. There you go. Thank you. You know, I wonder how the conversation went when the mother or father had explained to the children why this lamb that's actually living with them now had to die. What purpose? How would you explain that to your 5-year-old or your 10-year-old or your 14-year-old why this had to happen? Did the parent explain how the life of an innocent lamb could symbolically take the place of sin as was taught since the fall in the Garden of Eden by Adam and Eve? The father tells his family that death will visit every home that has not followed the instructions, the specific instructions passed down from Moses. The death will visit the firstborn of every family. We know the story. The instructions are specific, and I keep saying this. Specifics. The instructions are specific. We are asked and required to follow them through its entirety, not add to or take away from. Specifics. If they would have added to or taken away this Hebrew family, they would have been visited by that angel of death. So the specifics are here. The lamb is to be slain at twilight. The lamb's blood is to be sprinkled on the lintel and the doorposts of the home. They are to eat the lamb in its entirety, and if there's any left over, it is to be burned up. They are instructed to roast the lamb and no other preparation. They are to eat dressed and ready to leave, belt on, staff in hand, and sandals on their feet. And finally, they must eat in haste, for the angel of death comes quickly. After the father kills the innocent lamb, the wife prepares the lamb to be eaten. The father sprinkles the slain lamb's blood over the lintel and doorpost. Can I have that slide up? I didn't touch it. Can you imagine how anxious this family is? In anticipation of what is going to happen. They're dressed and ready, uncertain what exactly is in their future, but there's also that excitement and the thought of freedom from the bondage and harsh treatment from the taskmaster. At midnight, they begin to hear the screams and cries and hollers of those families, the Egyptian families, and of those families that chose not to follow the instructions given to them by God. For the angel of death is allowed to visit the homes that have not prepared themselves with the blood of the sacrificial lamb. Can I get that slide up? If I could just get it to stay up. Thank you. Now the family readies to leave as instructed. And as they leave this place, they pass under the lintel and the doorpost that has the blood of the sacrificial lamb on it, which has protected them from certain death. They only know that they're free. They don't know exactly what's going to happen in their near future. And they only know that this lamb's blood protected them that night. But they don't know that this lamb's blood is symbolic of a much greater event. The true lamb, the true Savior, it points to that Jesus Christ himself will protect us from that angel of death if we so choose to put his blood on our lintel and our doorpost. But we have to walk under it. The instructions was to walk under it. I wish to share some scripture with you that has helped me to better understand what God has in store for us. You know, in the Bible, we see that a sacrifice was one thing of equal or greater value forfeited for another. In Bible speak, it represents something innocent being offered for the guilty. The Passover was to be commemorative and symbolic, not only pointing back, but to the future of what was to come. In Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Just as the lamb on this frightful night gave its life for the many of the family, the word that you see here, ransom, comes from a root word, lutron. And lutron from the Latin language, meaning redeeming of slaves or war prisoners. On this night in Egypt, God was paying the ransom for his people taken as slaves in the war of the great controversy. Satan had taken God's people captive, and God was willing to redeem his people and take them out of Egypt. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ, and this is the half portion of verse 7. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. It was not enough that the Passover lamb be killed. Its blood must have been sprinkled on the doorpost. In similar way, Christ's blood must be applied to our soul today. We must believe that he not only died for the world, but he died for you. He died for me personally. He died for me. He would have died for just one of us. He would have done it all for one of us. We must be willing to apply his blood to ourselves and our doorposts and our lintel. And we must walk under knowing that this is his will. His will is for you to be free. He's willing to pay the price for you to no longer be a prisoner of war. You know, the story I told of the Hebrew father, it didn't include the father doing something dramatic or cunning or brave and acquiring this lamb. He went to the marketplace and he bought one. He only had to choose a perfect lamb. That's all he did. It wasn't some great task other than choosing the perfect lamb. Are you choosing the perfect lamb? He chose a lamb that was innocent. That's what it took. The lesson given to the people of Israel is now listened for us all. There has now come the true Lamb, Jesus Christ, and his blood has been shed that we might be free from our bondage if we only have faith. Have faith, brothers and sisters. Have faith, brothers and sisters. We too have been given the word again, specific instructions. Not added to, nor take away. We've been given specific instructions as to what God requires of us. God has provided the lamb. We must only be willing to apply it to our lives. The great news today is that our sacrificial lamb, the world's sacrificial lamb, is coming for you and for me. And I say he's coming soon. Therein lies our true truth. The marks in his hands are going to show that he's worthy. Can I have the slide up? Or let's go that one. That was good. The marks in his hands show us that he's worthy to be our sacrifice, but his countenance is that of a king and a conqueror. Huh? Make no mistake, Jesus is coming. Jesus is on his way here. Can you go to Revelations 1:7 for me? It's one of the slides, Revelations 1:7, because this isn't working. Thank you. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Please note that those who chose not to sprinkle the blood of sacrifice were not spared, even if they were Israelites, even if they belonged to the Seventh-day Adventist Church, even if they belonged to the Southern Baptist Church, even if they were Methodists and they showed up every day. If you're not willing to sprinkle the blood of the Savior on your lintel and doorpost, you will not be taken up. Just because you belong to a group or congregation of religious people doesn't mean the final death is not going to visit you. Attendance is not a factor, but what is in your heart will be measured. But I still want to see you here. That doesn't mean that you can sit home and it's all good, because I'm telling you, sitting home is dangerous. Finding a reason not to come in fellowship is dangerous. Because it's here where you get your cup filled. Here is where somebody makes sure that your candle is lit. Here is where somebody motivates you, shares, or shows compassion with you. Or here's a chance where you to share with someone else. So attendance doesn't count, but it matters. Do we not see and agree that there are signs and troubles ahead of us? Anybody who's living in the world that I live in, unless you, I don't know, maybe you live in Caney Head, everything's all right. But in the world that I live in, there's some bad stuff happening. There are people that are saying that what's good is bad and what's bad isn't good. Your rights and your privileges are on the cusp of being taken away from you. But don't be fearful. Jesus is coming. They can take all they want to away from us. They can't take Jesus. And they can't take the blood that's on your lintel and your doorpost. They can't take that away. No, they can't. No rules or regulations can take that away. Let me tell you a story. A young woman, a daughter, was attending university. And she's considered a bright student, liked by everybody. The parents had been instructing her of the importance of listening to their counsel, as they often lived in places in the world where safety was a concern. Both father and mother worked for their government in representing other governments. And therefore, they had access to information coming and going in issues of possible troubles before the average layman knew about. They knew what was going on before most people did, because they worked in that part of the government entity. The young lady that we're speaking of had many plans for her future. She was very driven and had many desires that she wanted to have meet. She had things that she wanted to accomplish in life. And as I said, she was a very, very bright young lady and was involved with many extracurricular activities in school and out of school. Her parents stayed in communication with her all the time. They were concerned for their daughter. The mother would write her a letter once a week, just telling her that she cared for her, telling her what was going on. Her father would email her letters and let her know that how her brother was doing, who was staying at home, and what her father and her mother was seeing as they traveled around the country being emissaries of their home country. And often they would always use text messaging as the most common way. But both parents kept getting frustrated with their daughter because the daughter never seemed to respond no matter how they tried to communicate with her. Whether they sent letters, they sent text messages, they sent emails, she just never was quick to respond. And if she did respond, it wasn't engaging. On more than one occasion, in fact, many occasions, her parents would voice their concerns as she failed to respond in a reasonable length of time. Their concern was this: if something was bad happening, they wanted to be able to let her know that she needed to come out of school and she needed to come home. She needed to get behind protective walls. Yes, her parents wanted her to be independent. We all want our children to be independent. God wants you to go about your life as an individual making good decisions. He doesn't want you to be a robot. But he wants you to listen to his counsel. He wants you to pay attention when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. The daughter assured the parents that she would do better going forward in her responses. Unfortunately, the country where this family lived in is often in political unrest. That's why the parents were so adamant about the daughter staying in communication. The parents see that there is the beginning of great tension and unrest in the government between two great powers. They see it happening. The parents quickly reach out to the daughter, and frantically, they're using every way possible to communicate her, to tell her to come home from school, come home, and get behind the protected walls, for there's trouble afoot. The daughter sees the emails. She sees the text messages. Well, she chooses to ignore. She's busy with life. Are we too busy with life? Are we going to be too busy tomorrow to be in fellowship and study? Do we only set the Sabbaths aside to be in communication with our Maker? She's thinking the parents are overacting because she doesn't see the issue. From her vantage point, not so bad. She tells herself that she will respond after her classes are over that day. Certainly after she gets back from a scheduled outing that she had with some study group friends. Well, y'all know the story. You know what I'm alluding to. She's not behind protective walls in time. And there's an uprising for the dissidents in that country. And if you were not part of the dissident group and you were not behind protective walls, you lost your life. She lost her life. We all have choices in our life. Do we listen to our parents? Do we heed their counsel? Do we align ourselves with the parents' values, or are we letting the world form our values? We have a Father in heaven. We have a Savior in heaven that is sending us warnings all the time. We've got the good book that tells us every day that we must be prepared and how to be prepared. Specifics. Specifics. Not our idea how to be prepared, His idea to be prepared. We are seeing such troubles that if we do not align ourselves with our Heavenly Father and put ourselves under His protection, behind His walls of protection, then surely we will die. Because there is a two-power system going on in the world. And right now, our team wins. But right now, the score is a little lopsided. For evil is forever on your doorstep. And if we're not under His protection, if we fail to submit to His warning, we're going to be found wanting. The parents tried to warn the daughter. They did everything they could. Will we choose to follow the instructions now given to us by our Holy Spirit, sent to us by God, to prepare us for our departure out of bondage, out of the grip of the imposter Satan? Will we accept the offering of the Lamb Jesus Christ and His lutron to redeem us? As we are slaves, yes, yes, would-be prisoners of war prior to His arrival as He returns for His children to be taken home. Do I, is our staff in our hand? Is the belt on your waist? Do you have sandals on your feet? Are you eating in haste because you know the Lord is coming soon? You know, let me close this. I once heard a sermon from Pastor Doug Batchelor speaking of signs of being a Christian. So, if we're preparing for Christ's return and are prepared for our journey, are you showing that you are a Christian? Do we have a relationship with Jesus that we will not be passed over this time? See, it's different this time. He's looking for the blood on the lintel and the doorpost and take you out of that home. If you don't have that, you will be left on this earthly home. And when He does come, when you see Him in the clouds, it'll be too late to choose then, y'all. Either you have it or you don't. Either your sandals are on your feet or they're not. If your staff is not in your hand, you won't be able to reach for a staff. If you are taken to court and charged with the crime of being a Christian, how difficult would they find to prosecute you? Knowing Jesus is coming and being prepared for His coming is not the same thing. There are truths that we know that we still don't subscribe to. Again, I can't stress this more so. Just because you know Jesus will come, even if you believe that this will happen, but you are not preparing for Him to come, that's not the same thing. Are we living through Christ? Are we living as though Christ will return in our lifetime? If we are, then there better be a sense of urgency about you. For we must truly know that the time is at hand. If we're not, why are you not? What is keeping you from being motivated and have a sense of urgency in your life? What is it about your life that's so great that you want to stay here? What's going on? I'd like to find out. Tell me, what is so wonderful that you want to stay here? Lord, let me take. Just as the people of Israel, they not only needed to place the blood on the doorposts, and lentil, but they had to be willing to leave. If they would have done all this, if they would have put the blood on the lintel and doorpost, they had done all this, and then it came time in the morning for them to exit. If they stayed in the home, they remained slaves. They remained prisoners. You got to be willing to leave. Unlike the children of Israel who were unsure as to what was going to happen to them, that's not your case. You know exactly. You know exactly what is to take place if you choose Jesus. And shame on you if you don't know what's going to happen if you don't choose. Because too many people around you are telling you exactly what's going to happen. I call upon us all to make that choice and make it now. Hey, listen. There's no promise that you have tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So I suggest, I pray, you better keep that belt close by. You better know where your staff is. And you better take care of those sandals because you're about to go on a trip.